name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is our most pressing concern, brothers and sisters? Isn't it that we don't love God enough? It's really the cause of all of our ills. We don't love God enough. We love ourselves more than God, so we sin. So we place ourselves first and others far last. So we have thoughts in our heads that we would like to get rid of, but they stay. We do things that are foolish, that are sinful. We say that we don't want to do them, and yet we continue to do them. The problem is we don't love God enough. The man who loves God completely and totally does not sin. So it is manifest that we don't love God enough. And the complaint that many of us have even voiced it aloud, is that I don't love God enough. And that's a good start, to know that we don't love Him. But how can we love Him as we should love Him? The Gospel gives us a clue today. In fact, both Gospels do. The sinful woman goes to anoint the Lord's feet, causes a spectacle. People misunderstand her motivations, misunderstand what she's doing, but the Lord knows. This woman had been delivered from her sinfulness. The Lord, at some previous time, had touched her in some way. She changed. She was grateful that she was no longer living a sinful life. She wanted in some way to thank the Lord. And so she chose this way. Now, of course, this way was highly symbolic, showing that the Lord was being prepared for His burial. But she didn't know that. All she wanted to do was show that she loved Him. And the Lord correctly surmised this and explained to Simon why the woman anointed Him. He said to him, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." This, brothers and sisters, this is the key to how to love God. To be forgiven of our sins. And to know that we're forgiven. And to have gratefulness springing up from our breast, so that we act with love towards God, and therefore towards God's creation, towards our neighbor. This is the key. The one who loves little is forgiven little. Also, the one who loves little is aware of very little. Often the one who loves little doesn't even know that they have sins that need to be forgiven. But the one who loves much knows that they had many sins and they are forgiven. Now let us not make the mistake. We live in a Western world, but let's not think in a Western way. Let's not think in a heretical way. Let's think in an Orthodox way. We're not. Jesus Christ didn't come so that we would just be forgiven our sins. That's a small thing. He came so that we would be changed and no longer be sinful. Because I've told you many times before, sin hurts. Whether it's forgiven or not, it causes pain to those that we sin against and to ourselves. The thoughts that are in your heart that are dark, don't they hurt you? Don't they shame you? Don't you wish to be rid of them? Sort of like an itch that won't go away? Sin hurts. Sin kills. Whether it's forgiven or not. Jesus Christ didn't come to only forgive our sins. He came so that we would be made perfect. In perfection there is peace. In perfection there is perfect love. So when the Lord says, her sins which are many are forgiven, He's speaking of her becoming perfected. Now, not all at once, and not certainly at that moment, but in time. To have complete perfection. This is what you should be pursuing. This is the purpose of your life. And to the extent that you do not pursue this is the extent to which you do not love God. You can't love God by deciding to love Him. You can't love God by thinking yourself into loving Him. There's only one way to love God, and that is to become good as God is good. And then like loves like. It's the only way. And the Lord says it in so many words here. To be aware of our sins and to know that God is perfecting us. Then we're filled with love. Gratefulness. And this gratefulness acts out in love towards God, in love towards our neighbor, in struggles against our sins, in asceticism, in all things. And we become more perfected. And as we become more perfected, we are become more good and love God more. This is the path, the Christian path. This is why Jesus Christ came and became man. We couldn't become perfected until He became man. But the way to perfection is not just in acknowledging truths. It's in living them. Because Jesus Christ is the truth. So for us to say we believe in the truth means we live as Christ lives. I said the other gospel also gave us a hint. You can't love God unless you're humble. Rather amazing circumstance in the second gospel, or actually I guess it was the first one read, in which our Lord tells about His upcoming passion. One would think that this would be so shocking to the disciples that this would be all they could think about, and yet James and John went and wanted to be on His right and on His left. Now, we should not judge James and John for this. They're just evidencing the human condition. Pride, vanity, we all have it. And so the Lord said, can you bear the cup that I am about to drink? And can you be baptized with the baptism I am baptized in? Well, when we're full of pride and arrogance, we have no idea what our limitations really are. We inflate a view of ourselves far beyond what our capabilities are. So they said, we can. Well, it turns out they would. And the Lord told them that. But whether they sit on the right hand or the left, that's for God to determine. Not for them, or by extension, us to care about. And what is this baptism? The Lord's suffering. And what was His greatest suffering? Don't tell me that it was when He was whipped, or when the crown of thorns was put on His head, or when He was put on the cross. Don't tell me that. That wasn't His greatest suffering. His greatest suffering was when He bore the sins of mankind, and when He knew that many would not come to Him. The great sadness in His heart that there would be those that would not be saved. Even though He reached out to them, as He said, like a mother hen would want to gather her chicks under her wings. That was His greatest suffering. And it must be ours too. A Christian must feel pain. If you're afraid to feel pain, then find another religion. Because Christianity is about becoming as our Lord is. So it's thinking as our Lord thinks. It's a lost world out there. And it's painful. And it's sad and it's tragic. You've got to feel it. If you don't feel it, then you're not living as our Lord lived. And when you see the lost world, that's all you should care about. Of course, the first place you should see the lostness is in your own soul, right? First, we see the darkness in ourselves, but that doesn't mean that we don't notice darkness in others. It's foolish to say, don't judge people, don't recognize when they're sinning. Of course we recognize when they're sinning. But the key to not judging them is to know that we are sinners. Now the Lord gives an example right after He says that they would bear that, have that baptism and bear that cup. So should we. So must we. Then he says, whosoever shall be great among you shall be the servant. Whosoever you will be chiefest will be the servant of all. Placing others first. Now sometimes our sins go away because of God's grace helping us in a way that we don't understand over the course of time. But other times our sins can begin to go away with our extreme effort. If you're a proud man, learn to humble yourself. Learn to not be the first one to speak, the first one to take credit. Learn to seal your lips with whatever is burning in your heart and is trying to come out. It's still a sin that burns in your heart. But that ascetical act of sealing your lips, of humbling yourself, will help you so that your heart will not burn eventually. That's what the Lord is teaching here. Humble yourself. But the greatest of all virtues is love. So the apostle teaches, so the Lord taught. So really, the church teaches. So the humbling of ourselves must come as we increase in love. And by our Lord's definition here, you increase in love as your sins are forgiven. Remember, forgiveness is not just where the Lord says, oh, I won't judge you for this. No. He's talking about perfection. He's talking about, well, once you became angry so easily and now you are more placid. Once you were filled with lust and now you have chastity in your heart. Once you were filled with jealousy and now you can be happy that your enemy or someone you don't like or someone who has treated you badly is doing well. That once you were lazy and now you're industrious. And all these other sins that you once indulged in or perhaps not so much indulged in as were annihilated with, engulfed with, that you have power over them. It happens a little bit by a little bit. That's what he means by her sins, which were many, are now forgiven. What a paltry idea it is that Jesus Christ came so that we would be forgiven of our sins. He came so that we'd be perfected. And this woman felt that perfection. Not all of it yet, but she felt some of it. And she was filled with gratitude. So should we. This is what guards us from sin. Gratitude to the Lord and a desire to do something. She anointed his feet. Of course, I said there's all kinds of symbolic meaning to her anointing his feet. Humility and the repentance and her tears and the anointing of his body for burial. And all those are good things to know. But what we must know, above all else, is that the Lord came so that we could be perfected. And little by little we're being perfected. And if we recognize this, we will love him. To the extent that we do not recognize this, to the extent that we are not aware of our sins, or that we hide our sins, or that we don't try to defeat our sins, that's the extent to which we do not love the Lord. And to the extent that we are not blessed by the Lord. And the extent to which we are in darkness and not in light. And God is light. And there is no darkness in him at all. And he calls us to him. And the only way we can be with him is if there is no darkness in us at all. That's what Jesus Christ came to help us realize. And as we realize it, then we love God more. May God help us. We need a lot of help. May God help us to realize all things needed for our salvation. Amen.